You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 11 February, we've got Chinese total social financing data out today. Expected 6.4 trillion renminbi versus 2.44 previously. I want to dig into more around that number. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Chantal Marks, FNB Wealth and Investments, updates from Telkom and Pan African Resources, Reza Hendrickse from PPS Investments. So they sold down bonds last year. Where's the cash going? And then Herman van Papendorp, he is from Momentum Investments, managing your portfolio in the time of Trumponomics. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb, Treasury beefs up security after 377,000 is stolen from retail bond investor. It is investigating whether compensation should be paid. Pay it, don't question. Business Day, research firm raises questions about plans to cut inflation target. We estimate that substantially reducing inflation will be harder and more costly than the Saab assumes. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.2%, NASDAQ up 1.25%. Over in the East, it is red. Sydney, down 0.33%. Tokyo is closed for National Foundation Day. Hong Kong is down 0.4% and Tencent off 1.6%. Commodities are green. Gold futures, $2,951. Brent, $75.99. Platinum, $1,035. Palladium, $1,006. The Rand is 18.43. Bitcoin, 97,600. Top 40 opening call, red open, but 180 points or a quarter of a percent lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Chantal Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, appreciate the early morning. A Telkom third quarter update. I got to say, the first line, my heart sank. Group revenue up only 0.9%. But then as you drill into it, it actually starts to look a whole lot better, particularly along data, whether it be mobile data, fiber to the home, fiber to the business. Markets certainly seem to like it. Well, your take on the update and the investability opportunity in Telkom?
Yes, so as you say, I mean, that first line, heart sick, second line, you start feeling better, then you see there's property sales in there, and then you don't like it that much, but then you drill into it. And really, segment by segment surprised me in a very positive way. So even though top line growth has been quite weak, just the improvement in profitability. I mean, if we look at Telkom Consumer, EBITDA up 51.4%. OpenServe, which is the fixed line business, EBITDA up 5.4%. BCX EBITDA up 36%. I mean, these are numbers that I really like to see. And it tells me that they're starting to actually make decent headway in getting rid of those legacy costs. They had a massive cost base and things are starting to look better. And if they can deliver financial improvements like that, it's going to go to cash flow. We're going to start seeing a real improvement in the balance sheet position. They can start investing again for growth. And yeah, I mean, I'm really positive. The stock looks cheap.
Yeah,
as well.
It does, and I take your point. It was weird. It was like unwrapping presents for Christmas. As you went on, it got better and better. Pan-African update. I think results are due Friday. I mean, obviously, gold price is helping. ZAR helping, although, you know, they take the average for the year, and it's to December. But two things. Decrease in gold sales of 18%. Also, they talk about opportunity associated with synthetic forward transaction. In other words, they've hedged gold. It's just a fancy way of saying it. But gold sales down, I mean, is that just a sort of a timing issue, or should we be more concerned?
Yeah, so I had a look at the production update, and the production update was fine. So I think it's a timing issue. They did also mention that the second half is going to look a lot better from a sales perspective. We also already know that the second half is going to look a lot better from a production perspective. So they actually expect an increase in production of about 45% half on half. Mm-hmm. That's up 16% on a year-on-year basis. So it's going to look a lot better in the second half from a production perspective, and I would think that the sales will then start coming through as well. importantly, that hedge, they hedge the gold, they hedge their gold sold at $2,300 an ounce, more or less. So that's a lot lower than spot gold prices. And that thing is unwinding now, so they should get the full benefit of a much higher gold price in the second half. I think that the prospects here are quite positive. And perhaps a little sell-off in the share price yesterday, providing us with an opportunity. Because just to give you an idea, they've got the best production growth profile among the South African gold producers. We're looking at 16% in this next half, and 13% growth in FY25. In a year's time, they will have absolutely no debt. At the last reporting period, their all-in sustaining cost was $1,325, with $1,375 per ounce targeted for FY25. All the other producers are at over $1,600 an ounce. So they will be printing cash in the second half of their financial year. And I think this is a chance more than anything else.
Yeah, I take your point. And of course, they've also got that Australian mine in literally the middle of nowhere, 1,500 kilometers from nowhere, which is nowhere. We'll leave it there. Chantal Marx, Head of Research, FNB Wealth and Investments. Always appreciate the early morning. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Riza Hendricks, a portfolio manager at PPS Investments. Riza, appreciate the time. You and I chatted a couple of times last year. We talked around the fact that locally bonds were beating equities, which was quite weird. Both were positive, but to the point being is that last year, ultimately, it was about local bonds. But you say that you've actually been lightening a bit, not because you're worried, but because the performance is unlikely to be the same again this year.
Hi, Simon. Yes, thanks very much. And you're right on that. I mean, bonds have had a really strong year last year, particularly the nominals. At one point, those were up, I think, close to 20%.
Yeah.
And yes, we use that opportunity just to lighten up a little bit. It's quite rare that bonds deliver such a strong return over such a short period of time. And it was really about just trying to raise those levels of cash, which seems to have been well-timed heading into this new uncertain environment that we're in. And so really, it was all about just trying to have some dry powder to be able to deploy should an opportunity arise in the markets.
And that's a good point. In the note you put out, you talk around the good news is to a fair degree embedded into our bond yields in South Africa. You've raised cash. Is that then looking sort of foreign or perhaps some global bonds or SA equity, SA Inc.?
Yes. So at the time, we actually sent some of that money offshore because the rand back then, believe it or not, was in the 17s and we're now pushing close to 19. So some of it went offshore into offshore cash, into foreign bonds, even with yields where they are. We think those are quite attractive. Some of it we kept in SA cash and some of it we even put into SA equities ahead of obviously these US elections, which potentially might have changed the story a little bit. But we're quite comfortable that we are well positioned to be able to respond in this rapidly changing environment that we're in.
Absolutely. And I want to come to more of that in a second. I mean, one of the key things, I was going to say risks abound. I suspect there's always going to be some risk. One of them, I mean, China. Is China big on your horizon? The domestic economy struggling, the fiscus announced back in September, bounced things, but perhaps wasn't aggressive enough. How much is China a sort of a worry in the bigger picture in your mind?
On our level of allocating to managers, we don't allocate explicitly to China. We leave that up to, let's say, the global managers to be able to participate. But China is quite big for South Africa. I mean, a couple of our big companies are quite exposed to that Chinese economy, which, as you mentioned, is struggling on the domestic front. I mean, exports are still quite strong, but the sort of internal domestic economy is not that strong. We know what's happened on the property front. And we've seen the Chinese government come through with some gradual stimulus over the course of the year. And so we're not overly concerned about China, but we are seeing some of the negative news flow going back and forth and just that tariff announcement more recently. And we're just trying to work out how much of all of this is just noise, how much should one actually block out. So we are keeping an eye on China, but we're not making an explicit call on that.
You mentioned sort of geopolitics. President Trump is in for some 3 weeks. Obviously, that election was back in November. We did see a lot of incumbents around the globe last year voted out of office. Geopolitical, I mean, it has been a wild 3 weeks so far from President Trump, but geopolitics is broader than just that. We've still got the war in Ukraine, and it almost is a sense of just become, again, that almost that new normal, although perhaps a little more heightened in the year ahead.
Yes, unfortunately, it does seem as though we're in for an interesting next 4 years, if I could call it that. There'll be no shortage of news flow, and things are changing by the minute, sort of tweet by tweet. Mm-hmm. So one really has to, in that environment, work out what is important and what is going to be market moving. You don't want to be too reactive, too responsive, but at the same time, one also just needs to have some ability to be nimble and agile. But yes, it's really that challenge of trying to work out what is noise and what is important. And certainly, I mean, you mentioned bonds earlier on. We've got our own budget coming up later this month, and that is also potentially going to be impactful for our bonds, where, as you know, yields have obviously strengthened. Mm-hmm. But we also know that that might be a sort of a slight negative tilt to thoughts around the budget, and we think what might come out of that.
The other point, of course, is perhaps we should call it sticky developed market inflation. It's certainly well off the highs, but kind of got a little bit sticky, particularly in the US, as it got to that, started approaching the 2% level, which does, and we saw the FOMC pause last month, does suggest that rate cuts might be in the developed markets perhaps a little more cautious, particularly in the US.
That's true. One has seen in this shift in rhetoric from the Fed that they are probably going to be less likely to cut from here. And one can't actually disagree with them if you see their economy is actually quite strong. Yes, inflation has come down, but as you mentioned, it is proving to be stickier at this level. That's not to say it can't come down some more, but I think the Fed has done the right thing to pause here. And it was quite nice to see that our SOB actually went ahead and cut just a couple of days later. So that was quite a relief. And other central banks are cutting as well. We saw India just the other day. So we're seeing a continued downward move in global policy rates, apart from the Fed. But we think that is the right thing, just given the state of where growth is versus inflation.
I take your point, absolutely. And we also had the BOE also cutting just last week. Reeza Hendricks, Portfolio Manager, PPS Investments. Appreciate the insights. Give your money smoother returns with StanLib Asset Management. The StanLib Flexible Income Fund's agile investment process preserves and grows capital in all markets.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting now with Herman from Papendorp from Momentum Investments. Herman, appreciate the early morning time. Trump's policies, fair to say that, I mean, at this point, they are just contradictory. On the one side, tax cuts and deregulation. This is good for growth and economies. The other side, tariffs and stricter immigration policies is bad for growth and, truthfully, in inflation. And at this point, I mean, I'm not sure that we know which way he's going to fall and which decision he's going to make, if not perhaps both.
Morning, Simon. Yes, and I think, you know, what we're in at the moment is very much a significant departure from the past. I think Trump's policies very much now have put us lock, stock and barrel in an era of protectionism rather than free trade or globalization. And that's even more so than in Trump 1.0, because he embarked on that kind of journey in his first reign, but now he's being much more aggressive. I mean, if at last count, I think, you know, he's now put on tariffs on $1 trillion of additional imports than in Trump 1.0. So you can see he's been much more aggressive this time around. He's probably learned from the first experience. He's also surrounded him much more with guys that he trusts that can implement his more protectionism or protectionist policies in the U.S. economy. So I think, you know, if you look at the growth impact, I mean, your absolute growth impact will be, it's very uncertain on the U.S. specifically, because you've got these counterbalances, as you say. You know, we've got deregulation and tax cuts that later this year will probably be somewhat positive for growth. But immediately you've got tariffs and the clampdown on immigration that's immediately negative. So you've got this timing difference, firstly, but also these counter factors that will be on the one side positive for growth, but on the other side negative for growth. So we just don't know on the U.S. growth side. I think it's much more clear India that for the rest of the world, it's predominantly negative for growth. So yeah. Again, if you got to make an asset allocation decision on equities as a growth asset, you've got to say, you know, valuation is not that great in the US, but maybe, you know, if I isolate the Trump effect as a fundamental factor for equities, I'd rather probably still want to be in the US than in the rest of the world and just see how this plays out, these Trump policies on the equity market side.
I take your point. And it is difficult, whether perhaps the tariffs do kind of win out. I mean, to your point, he's literally, 3 weeks and 1 day in so far. And, I mean, the impact as well. I mean, obviously, developed markets are going to feel this. But is there perhaps more risk to emerging markets in thinking particularly the equity markets?
Absolutely. I think so. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at emerging markets, they are predominantly exporters. I mean, mm-hmm. So again, from that perspective, tariffs are significantly negative for emerging markets as an asset class. And I think, again, there you've got to be very much discriminatory in your asset class allocation within emerging markets. You've got to say, you know, where is Trump's focus going to be in the emerging world? And it's going to be predominantly in China. So again, you've got to say, you know, China is a big part of the emerging market index. So you probably want to look outside of China in the emerging world if you want to have some exposure. Now, notwithstanding what unfortunately has happened in South Africa with our foreign policy, and that's put us on the radar for Trump, one would have thought that, you know, from a fundamental perspective, you know, South Africa is looking somewhat more positive in the emerging market equity space, for instance, just in this kind of Trump tariff kind of framework.
And I mean, this is all potentially inflationary, and that then, you know, suddenly the Federal Reserve's rate cuts, and already they've paused their January 1, and the market is saying, well, maybe we only get one this year. Is there a preference? I mean, you mentioned a moment ago that we can't ignore U.S. equities. Is it still equities, or is there space for bonds after what was, I mean, certainly in local, but in many other markets, 2024 was a great year for bonds?
Yeah, I think one has to be very careful from a Trump perspective on U.S. bonds, for instance. So, mm-hmm. again, if you look at U.S. bonds, U.S. equities, you would say, well, the valuations tell you you should be in U.S. bonds. But if fundamentally, you know, the Trump policy framework is going to be unequivocally negative for U.S. inflation and for the rest of the world's inflation, because mm-hmm. firstly, tariffs mean higher prices. You push up the price base of the world economy. You might be some in the US, you might say, well, then maybe there's a bit of a negating factor from maybe a stronger dollar, but I think that's on the margin. Mm. So overall tariffs negative for inflation. Immigration clampdown, that means higher wages on the lower end of the employment scale in the US. So again, the wage structures will probably go up in the US as well. So, you know, inflation being enemy number one for the bond market, you've got to say for US bonds, not great. Maybe for US equities, a bit uncertain. So the relative game is very much US equities over US bonds, even though the valuations might tell you the other way around.
I said a moment ago that markets had, let's be clear, we came into last year with the market saying 6 US rate cuts. We never got that. Is there a world in which perhaps we actually see a US rate increase this year? Or would that just need sort of, I don't know, catastrophic events?
I don't think so necessarily catastrophic. I think, you know, later this year, if we start seeing inflation really moving the other way, and again, you know, it's very difficult to pinpoint what's the exact magnitude of how much higher inflation will be in the Trump era than if it would have been without all these Trump policies coming in. But I think, you know, a general indication is maybe 0.5%, maybe even at a stretch, 1% higher inflation than it would otherwise have been. So maybe you have inflation somewhere between 2.5 and 3.5 in the US. The target of the Fed is 2. If they start moving to 3 and with a 3 handle on it, then the Fed might actually start seriously contemplating actually hiking rates later this year and moving away just from staying put on rates, which it sort of seems that, you know, we're sort of in that kind of framework in the next 6 months. Maybe one more interest rate cut in the US, but maybe also no further cuts. But I think they're going to start contemplating maybe rate hikes later this year.
Yeah, and things are changing fast. Emin van Papendorp, Momentum Investments, appreciate the early morning insights. Our poll today with Chantal is around that Telkom update. Modest revenue growth, truthfully almost no revenue growth. But actually, as we read down, as Chantal said, things looking good. Is this a stock worth investing in? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. And yesterday we were chatting with Nikunza from Sanlam Private Wealth, talking about Friday's US jobs data, the country's overall economic strength. We asked you, are you confident about the US economy? Half of you said yes, strong like a bull. And certainly, there's a lot of evidence for that. The third said, nope, there are cracks showing. The rest were saying, I am worried. Nick did make the point that there was a little bit of something for everybody in that job starter, whether you were bull or bear. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. Impacts of leaving AGOA.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.